This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. Scott Simon is away. I'm Linda Wertheimer.
As I travel around the country from Crawford, I'm going to be focused on two vital concerns for our country. First, the safety of the American people, and the economic security of the American people.
President George W. Bush speaking from the White House on Wednesday in his first formal news conference since the start of the Iraq War, his ninth since taking office. Mr. Bush covered plenty of topics that we want to talk about as well, and joining us today is our senior news analyst, Dan Shore. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Linda.
Now, first and foremost, the president covered subjects connected to the Iraq War. Mr. Mm-hmm. Bush denied that he had oversold the case for going to war. Mm-hmm. He said, we're on the hunt for Saddam Hussein. Should Saddam Hussein be captured, would that settle all the arguments about the case for going to war, do you think?
It would certainly make a big step toward settling the arguments. I don't know if these arguments will ever be settled. You know, the case for war always rested on two major assertions. One, that Saddam Hussein was giving aid and comfort to al-Qaeda, the terrorist organization. And two, that he had weapons of mass destruction that that would put this country into imminent danger. Well, on the weapons, President Bush expressed confidence that they will be found. That seems now to rest on David Kaye, heading a team of inspectors who have gone back there examining what are called miles of documents, apparently going in to excavate at a certain place. It would help the administration case a great deal if they could get that settled.
Mr. Bush also revisited the dispute over misleading remarks he made about Iraq's nuclear aspirations. That was in the State of the Union address. He said, I take personal responsibility for everything I say, of course, absolutely. Is this the admission of responsibility that his critics were waiting for?
I'm not sure what else he could say. What, that there's a mole in the White House who slipped 16 words into the State of the Union where nobody was looking? That's to say that they were looking to bolster their case. You have to think about how it looked last January when they were on the road to war and still trying to make a case for war. And those 16 words were as far as anybody could go, resting on a British report, and the CIA wasn't being very helpful because they poo-pooed the report. And so that's what they did. It's understandable. It's just that looking back on it, it's a little bit embarrassing.
The president also defended the decision to black out 28 pages from the congressional report on the 9/11 attacks. Many in Congress say those pages should be restored. Does there seem to be room for compromise on this one?
Well, not only some many in Congress, but Saudi Arabia itself says they want the thing to come out so they can answer it, and I guess they have a right to say that. Well, the contents of the 28-page section have already begun to leak. It is now pretty well known. I'm sorry. It is now pretty well known that report concerns mainly Saudi Arabia and Saudi links to terrorists. Now there's one report that the two Saudi citizens had links with hijackers, and I imagine that at some point, after going over it for real sources and methods examination, that they will have to come out with one or another version of those 28 pages.
Now, the day before the press conference, Mr. Bush hosted Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon at the White House. He already met with Palestinian Prime Minister Mahmoud Abbas. That was last week. The president did say that the goal of a Palestinian state by 2005 is realistic. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
Well, if it can't happen in 2 years, then it's going to take a very long time to happen. They are still wrestling with the gateway issues, as I'm wrestling with my voice. They're still wrestling with gateway issues. The president and Shamir want Mohammed Abbas to dismantle and disarm the militant groups, and Abbas said he doesn't have enough strength to be able to do that. That appears now to be accepted by the White House. Then there's a question of the security fence that the Israel is building, and which Abbas said would enclose parts of Palestinian territory. They're still wrestling with the issues before they get into the real issues, and if they can't settle those, I guess there'll be trouble ahead.
Now, on the domestic front, Mr. Bush said in his news conference that he opposes gay marriage and that administration lawyers are working on measures to ensure that the term marriage applies to unions between a man and a woman. It sounds like he's working with the Pope on that one, Dan.
Well, the Pope goes further than the president. The Pope goes rather far in insisting that legislators who are Catholic must obey the dictates against gay marriage. And, you know, it reminds me of when John Kennedy was running for president. He had to make a statement once that he is a Catholic, but that will not determine how he acts as president of the United States. It's a strange echo of that controversy that has arisen again. Well, the president says he thinks marriage should be between man and woman, and then he said, quote, we ought to codify that. I'm not sure what he means by that. There are apparently going to be cases involving gay rights in New Jersey and Massachusetts, and I suppose codify means let's see what the states do, and then we'll tackle it.
There were a couple of stories that did not come up in that very wide-ranging news conference. After months of resistance, North Korea has agreed to multilateral talks involving six nations, including the United States. Why do you think they suddenly agreed to sit down at a table when they didn't want to do it before?
Well, because I think there was a compromise, which is you have to look very closely at what's happening. North Korea has agreed to six-party regional talks that the United States wanted, but the United States has apparently agreed that within the framework of the six-power talks, there can also be one-on-one talks across the table, go out in the corridor and so on. So what's happened is that they've done a real compromise. What's probably the most important aspect of this, they've gotten down to talking, and they're backing away from exchanging threats.
Now, the other story that you and I both remember very well is about John Poindexter. From the Pentagon this week, we learned of a controversial plan to launch an online futures market in which people would wager money on the probability of assassinations or terrorist strikes in the Middle East. The plan's author was retired Navy Rear Admiral John Poindexter,
right. And
he's now announced that he will resign. What do you think is more surprising? The plan, the response to the plan, the end of the Poindexter career, what?
Well, everything that comes from the Pentagon's think tank called the Defense Research Projects Agency has surprised me. Most recently, they come up with this great idea to get total information out of the computer on every American and be able to store that so they know everything you possibly can be known about all Americans. That was called TIA, Total Information Awareness. In this case, the biggest surprise is what a tin ear this organization has, not apparently knowing that their ideas, when exposed, would be found repugnant by most Americans. The idea of betting in a cold-blooded way on who's going to be next to be killed or where the next explosion is going to take place. The fact of the matter is that as soon as it came out, it had to be dead because it just sounds so awful.
Sounds so awful. And Mr. Poindexter apparently is finally going to take the hit, as he did not in January.
Well, Admiral Poindexter, of course, is remembered. He was President Reagan's chief of staff at the time of the Iran-Contra affair. And he was distinguished for the fact that at one point he personally tore up a presidential document called The Finding, which permitted sending missiles to Iran.
Dan, thanks very much.
My pleasure.
NBR senior news analyst Dan Shore.